on those rare occasions that Carrie and I find ourselves both at home, both piddling away at tasks around the house, we will indulge ourselves in the luxury of watching one of the many shows you will find when you search the on-demand for home improvement. We've watched a bunch of these over the years, running through episodes of one series until we tire of it, then moving on to another. In the last couple years, we've been watching a lot of Love It or List It. You know it? Though we also do love John Taffert's dive bar makeovers on Bar Rescue. If you don't know it, check it out. In all of these shows, the basic premise is the same. There's something not quite right in the original building or setup, and then an expert comes in to listen to the owner's concerns and hopes, and the expert gets to work on transforming the building into a new and improved state. Now, the shows always build in some sort of tension, some crisis along the way that the builders, designers, or owners must confront and overcome, but in any case, you can trust that by the end of the hour, there will be a moment where the transformed house, or bar, is revealed. The changes are usually dramatic and surprising. You can hardly believe the space used to be so dull, drab, and inefficient. The homeowners or bar owners are often overwhelmed with joy and gratitude. Watching the before and after looks flash upon the screen, you can already begin to imagine how not just their homes are improved, but their whole lives. Our culture is filled with stories of these external transformations, usually in the form of advertisements, but just as often in the shows we watch, the magazines we buy, and the stories we read. It's hard to tell if the desire to become something other than we are is driven by these stories or mirrored by them. But in any case, while their prevalence may be more extreme than ever, we need look no further than The Taming of the Shrew, My Fair Lady, or Cinderella to realize the trope of transformation is nothing new. At the same time, most of us read or watch these stories with an awareness that the change that the main characters are after is ultimately not just about appearances. I mean, we change our haircuts in hopes to heal our hearts. And we get a new ball gown or glass slippers, a new speech pattern or new kitchen cabinets, not for their own sakes, but because we hope they'll lead to a new happiness, a new peace, a greater sense of being known and loved entirely. Behind most external change stories resides this impulse for change at a deeper level, a desire for a different life, an internal experience of what psychologist Gerald Mays calls divine transcendent love. Interestingly, while we have many examples of people seeking this interchange by way of outer transformation, we are less inundated of stories of the inverse, where there doesn't seem to be a rush of makeover shows that feature the before and after of people whose heart has been changed, the story of inner lives transformed. But maybe there should be. I can see it now, starting with the before and then following the story of how it happened. There would be experts, and there would be a crisis that puts the change in jeopardy, but eventually the episode would make its way to the inevitable reveal, where we discover they're the person whose inner life had been transformed. Transformation is one of those words that we and other religious communities, we talk about a lot, but spend less time actually defining, probably because what we're after is hard to describe. However, given that transformation will likely be one of the words in our soon-to-be-drafted mission statement, and given that it is at the heart of most of the world's religions, it seems to me that at least theoretically, we shouldn't have to work too hard to imagine what transformation looks like. Theoretically, we should simply be able to look around and listen to the stories and of the people of this congregation, people whose lives have been impacted by this community and our faith. Theoretically, a whole bunch of us could be stars of Extreme Makeover Heart Edition. On the other hand, I wonder how many of us would describe our lives as being transformed by this church in parallel ways to how the kitchens and bedrooms are transformed on HGTV. Which of us would describe our spirits as having gone through an extreme makeover as a result of coming into relationship with this congregation or this faith? And by the way, is that really what we're after all? Religious liberals have been historically ambivalent about the idea of transformation, or to use an even more loaded word, conversion. This ambivalence is born of a few things, not the least of which is our skepticism about any message that says right from the beginning that we need to change who we are, or that would require us to believe that the before selves are insufficient or in need of repair. This is the sort of ambivalence that James Luther Adams meant to address in his writings with declarations like, "Liberalism is dead, long live liberalism." Adams felt that our resistance to the idea of transformation has kept us from truly claiming the power and potential of our faith and its impact in our world. As Adams described it, we need conversion in ourselves. Only by some such revolution can we be possessed by a love that will not let us go. JLA's concept of transformation emphasized not our before selves' insufficiency, but rather a need to be, as he says, possessed by a love that will not let us go. The sort of possession that inspires a deep commitment. Commitment to a way of life, to a people, and to a way of seeing and giving of ourselves, and a commitment to a vision for how the world can and should be, and a commitment to orienting our lives to that vision. As Richard Rohr says, transformation awakens in us a new way of thinking, one that gets ourself out of the way, or the things we think of as ourself, our temperament, our culture, personality, preferences. It gets these things out of the way so we can be our true selves, who we truly are, a connected part of everything, a piece in something much greater than we can even comprehend. Going back to Howell's story that he shared, transformation is less about the act of seeing into another's eyes and more about your capacity to see there your sibling, your family, your beloved. This sort of conversion is not about being born again, but rather about being born again and again and again into life in all of its great possibility. Awaking again and again and again to all that is possible for ourselves and our world. And living a transformed life means not becoming a Christian or a Buddhist or even a Unitarian Universalist, but is more about a commitment to living as this awakened true self, our best selves, the selves we long to be. So, when we define transformation like this, when this is the narrative of our extreme makeover, then my sense is we have enough before and after stories to fill up an entire channel. We might call it UUTV. Our stories of transformation go something like this. It starts with someone seeking community, company, and something they don't or can't quite put into words, a desire for something greater, a greater sense of meaning, to be part of something, to feel that their lives matter. This longing is the before. This someone walks in our doors for the first time, or they keep walking in 30 years of Sundays, accumulating into a lifetime of before and after. And each time, the first or the 1,000th, it is the beginning of another story, another chance for day to break. The experts in our makeover story include those of us leading music, offering the sermons, crafting the service, sure. But what actually gets the change to happen is something more. It is the core message of our faith and the way it is lived out in our congregation. It is an experience of welcome and belonging, of being accepted as we are. It is the healing message of a faith that affirms human goodness across all our diversity and our equal, inherent worth, regardless of what you do for a living, what degree you have, where you're from, what you've accomplished, and it is the hope and promise that through it all, we are profoundly, mysteriously connected and that we need not think alike to love alike. Beyond the worship service, our channel would feature all sorts of stories. Surely a good many would include the transformative power of being welcomed into the choir, the liberating experience of simply singing together. Others would follow the power of freely exchanging ideas in the book or discussion groups. Many episodes would feature the powerful listening that happens in the sisterhood or the brotherhood. Surely the garden, the moms, the young adult group, meditation, yoga, the silver sages, the caregiver support, cancer support, grief support, Vespers services, earth-based practices, climate justice group, or the partner church, all of these and more would make an appearance in our stories. Still, these experiences of belonging would just be the beginning. For after acceptance comes the actual transformation, the living transformed, the putting love into practice. Here we can imagine telling about the 35 or so of you who have been through the One Village, One Family program, walking alongside families experiencing homelessness as they secure housing. These are stories of willing heartbreak and sustained presence. Stories of coming to terms with the fact that sometimes there is no way to make things all better, and that showing up is the best we can do. In these stories, we might imagine we get a peek at the reveal, the after, the heart broken wide open, a life lived in the light of day. Similarly, we'd see stories of hosting and greeting families in our faith family hospitality ministries, of tutoring our neighbors in ESL, and of visiting one another as parish visitors. We'd see so many of you bringing meals to each other when you're sick or have been in the hospital or are grieving. We'd see the piles of cards being delivered in a time of need and the invitation to coffee or lunch that offers a listening ear so desperately needed. And moment by moment, together, more revealing, more transformation. Still, we know it isn't easy to stay committed to this path of change, which is why our episodes would easily follow that makeover formula that includes a crisis. Maybe ours would come from engaging with the political process, or from the news of another shooting, or more mundane, from the simple reality of how irritating people can be and how hard it is to see them constantly as beloved. In response to these, our stories would show us in small groups and classes, in spiritual practices and workshops, these tools across all ages and stages of life that help us grow in self-awareness, courage, clarity and conviction, sustaining our commitment to living our everyday lives awake. With the leadership of the incredible Eleanor Van Dusen, our ministries for children, youth, young adults, students, families, and seniors have never been stronger. These stories of our congregation, our programs, and our ministries, they offer a powerful testimony of the ways we make a real difference both within and beyond this congregation. Still, as we emerge from our ministerial transition, I believe we are on the verge of something more powerful and transformational, something that would help us more fully claim the extreme in extreme makeover. We saw the seeds of this next stage in our gathering at the Islamic Center a few months ago, and in the prayer vigil at the Abyssinian Church after the shooting in Charleston. It is the impulse behind our fledgling campus ministry at CSU that we hope to grow, and our willing partnership with other area UU churches that we're just beginning. As one of you recently told me, we are teetering on this potential that when we tell our friends we go to the Foothills Unitarian Church, they will actually know what we mean. And not because we've suddenly hired a new marketing team, but because our leadership, presence, and values are showing up more fully, intentionally, and cooperatively across all of Northern Colorado. Equally, we have the seeds of even greater transformation within our congregation. We have this amazing music director, for example. And yet he... And yet he and we are stifled by the fact that he's on a 10-month, three-quarter-time contract. Any future that we're going to create is less possible without Ryan being a full-time staff member. We dream of doing more specialized music ministries, more collaboration like we've done with Plymouth, and being a greater resource to other UU churches. Most of all, we dream simply of having Ryan with us, full-time, year-round, being a part of casting the vision and helping us transform. Still, more than any specific program or outreach or worship service, the greatest possibility for our next stage of transformation lies in the realization that we are the producers of this show. And it's up to us how far we're willing to go, how much we believe that what we are doing matters. Everything that this congregation has been is because you made it so. And the only way that this next stage of transformation, this vision of our values writ large across our wider community, this vision of a world where more and more people see in one another's eyes their beloved sibling, the only way that any of this is possible is because we decide to make it happen. With our time, our care, and our generous financial support. Transformation happens and will keep happening here because we decide to make it happen. And it is in realizing and taking on this responsibility that the most powerful before and after occurs. Which is why, when you make your pledge of financial commitment, before you turn it in, I ask you to take whatever it is you were thinking of giving and add to it. Dream bigger. Imagine more for us. Give in a way that feels transformative. Even if you've never pledged before, even if you're not yet a member, if you believe in what we're up to, and I invite you to be a part, to be a producer, to help make this vision a reality. Imagine that what we are doing here is worthy of your most generous giving. Imagine that our partnership is the path towards that great reveal, the great transformation in our lives and in the world towards more hope, more peace, more justice, more love. Friends, the good news is we are not in the business of reality television. We are up to real life transformation. The before and after is continuous, every day, and deep down. Changing lives, creating life, every day. The power is here among us. With your support, everything is possible. Extremely. Amen. Blessed be.